Can you stand up with your Bibles, Luke chapter 17? All of us for the text, Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Shall we go? Remember. Everybody again. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. That statement constitutes a whole verse in the Bible. He made sure he didn't add any other thing to that verse. Remember Lord's wife. We are continuing our message on the day of the Lord. And let me quickly add this to the hearing of Enter Message ministries around the world. Enter Message churches around the world. William Branham preached a message that he titled At Kadesh Barnea. At Kadesh Barnea. You may camp around this mountain for too long. It is time to move forward. That was the emphasis of that message. And you are doing a thing constantly, doing something constantly, and you are not achieving the desired result. Won't you pause and change? For years, you have remained unproductive with the message. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, I think it's John 21, after he resurrected, he went and met Peter and his other disciples. They were fishing. They toiled all night. They could not catch any fish. And Jesus told them, have you caught any? He said, no. He said, he knew why they could not catch. There's a statement he made there. He said, now, cast your net at the right side. And when they cast that net at the right side, the draft, the pool, the catch they caught that day, until it was so much, the net was breaking. Why? Two things. They casted it at the right side, at the word of the Lord. There is a wrong side of the gospel, of presenting the gospel. You cannot go with a naked hook and catch any fish. You can never catch a fish with a naked hook. There must be something to attract the fish to come, then you hook it. Majority of you sitting down here, no be problem, carry una come. They say if you go there, your problem will go. That is debate, the gift. But when you came, you can't hear the thing where pass your problem, where carry come here. That is the hook that caught you. It is the word. It is the message. Enter Message pastors around the world. Listen to me. Change your method. You have put the Holy Ghost away. And you are using wisdom and intellectualism and quotes of the prophet. He cannot produce any result. That is the reason. Products of this ministry cannot easily fit into Enter Message churches around when they live here. The Enter Message is not about some set of rules to follow. The Enter Message is not a religion. It is not. The average Enter Message believer around the world comes into the Enter Message and he has come to accept some rules about how to do things. That is why this sister, because she went into an Enter Message church with her head covered with a scarf, she became the sermon for that day. What has her tie got to do with her salvation? What has a tie, tying scarf or not tying scarf, is so important until you are not going to heaven because you are sitting down. We've gone beyond that. It's people who don't have anything to say that sit down in these elementary things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Legalism. Legalists holding onto the message cannot produce anything. And they cage this. My brother, I believe you are here. You're hearing me. He said the first thing he noticed when he came here, he said concerning this entire message, he's about, you know, almost 30 years old. And he has been in this center. He was born in everything. And then he said that what he noticed here when he came to this church from another inter-message church in Benin, he came here. He said one thing he saw that was lacking in all the message churches he has gone was liberty of the spirit. He saw liberty here. He saw liberty. And if you don't create the liberty of the spirit to flow, hallelujah, then the Holy Ghost will fold his hands and look at you when you don't give him chance. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some of you that come from such churches and you are still suffering from that hangover. Unless they tell you to clap, you will not clap. Unless they say stand up, you cannot stand up. Even when the thing is shaking you to jump up and scream, you are afraid that you will be out of order. You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said he came here and he saw ministers standing up and jumping and shouting while the pastor is preaching. And he said, woe betide you tried that in his former church. They will hold meeting concerning you after service. Amen. But God has raised up this church to create a reawakening. Amen. People who will listen to us, they will readjust their churches and allow God to flow, because we are still asking our question. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the God of William Abraham? Where is the spirit of discernment that was released to the church? Where is that prophetic anointing? That was on William Branham. Where is the miracle anointing, healing and deliverance? Where is the balm in Gilead? That's the question in my mind. I didn't say we have arrived though. I'm not saying we have arrived. But we have started, we have decided to change. The order before did not produce any result. We have decided to change. Amen. And we are on that change, the root of that change now. That is the product of this revival church. Allow the spirit to move. Look, if someone is going on and the spirit of God strikes you and to make you jump up and shout, don't mind those Catholic people by your side. Don't mind those dead people by your side. Express yourself. Hallelujah. Express yourself. This is not a dead church. We are serving a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Feel free to ask your questions. Feel free to make observations. Feel free. Amen. Don't let anything close your mouth when the mouth should be open. This is an inter-message church. We're a restored ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to note something. Take note of something. The essence of bringing out mysteries from the scripture, the aim, the purpose of this is to make us to be better Christians. I was in a church in the early 90s, and one of our ministers there was very good in, you know, he was a teacher. And you bring up mysteries. We love him so much. But I noticed that. I noticed something was empty in his presentation of those mysteries. I was not a minister in that church. But I was influential enough for the ministers to hear me. And I went to him one day, I called him. I said, when you sit down and prepare your sermon at home, what do you define? What is your motive, your purpose for that message? What is your purpose for that teaching? I said, because I see you at the end of the service, all we say is, Kai the man, Sabi, Sabi. I say, Sabi, 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 Sabi. Then you Sabi, Sabi, Sabi. And everybody is saying, Sabi, Sabi. And we did not see the effect of that your teaching in the life of the hearer. He thanked me very well and changed his style. Every mystery in the Bible has a purpose why God has revealed it. Take note of this. Amen. I can see the mystery of iniquity. Amen. The mystery of godliness. There are the two mysteries, and the third one is three mysteries in the Bible. The first one is the mystery of iniquity that produced the mystery of godliness that culminates in the mystery of the translation. These three mysteries, there is a reason why God gave us that mystery, revelation of that mystery in this age. Number one, the mystery of iniquity, so that you will know why you must be born again. You see? So I have not achieved in teaching that doctrine until I get you to be born again. Or to see reason to be born again. It's not for me to tell you the serpent seed, and then they are busy arguing what happened in the Garden of Eden. Arguing what happened in the Garden of Eden. And then the person does not know why that revelation was given. The second one is the mystery of godliness. That lets us know who Jesus Christ is. God in the flesh. So that you will stay away from the idolatrous doctrine of Trinity. So that when you look at Jesus Christ, you see him as the creator of the heavens and the earth in human flesh, walking among his creature. That's the mystery. So your attitude towards Jesus will be different from the attitude of the Trinitarians. You create a better relationship with him. And the mystery of translation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. The Lord himself shall first descend with a shout, the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. So that you will know that the rapture has already started. That's the purpose of that. Nothing more. Amen. Now, here am I again now telling you about the day of the Lord. The purpose of the day of the Lord teaching is for you to know what will happen to those who don't go in the rapture. To give you every reason to make your calling and election sure. I've proven it from the scripture. It is going to be a horrible thing. People are looking at Antichrist. What will happen? Antichrist. Hey, they say 666. If you don't have the mark, you will not. There will be great tribulation. That is all they know. Church, listen to me. Tribulation. Those who will pay more during the period of the Antichrist tribulation is not the Gentiles. It is the Jews. To start with, all the Gentiles will line up behind the Antichrist. It is only the Jews that will not follow. Through the ministry of the 144,000, their eyes will be opened to know that he's the man of sin. And because they will not follow him, he will descend on them. The rest of the world, they will follow. They will follow the Gentile, they will follow. Are they not following? They have started following already. Amen. Why do I say remember Lot's wife? It's because Lot had the message of destruction that is coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He gave the message to his family, including his wife. The wife had opportunity to escape. But she was moving with her legs, but her heart was still in Sodom. Her heart is still in Sodom. Don't look back. It's so simple, but it's not easy. Something can be simple, yet not easy. You see? And I'm saying this because the greatest mystery that is in the world today of Christendom is that there is the voice of the seventh angel. There is a message to the church to come out of the Antichrist system, to escape, position yourself for the rapture that will take place in our own age. And while we are escaping, there is still the warning. Remember Lot's wife. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Remember Lot's wife. When the Bible said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, who was he referring to? He's not referring to prostitutes on the streets. He's referring to people who are going to church, speaking in tongues, performing miracle signs and wonders. And yet, Matthew chapter 7 says, I didn't know you. Get thee from me. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you will weep more because you had opportunity. You are hearing what the denominations are not hearing. We prove the message of the hour from the scriptures. We have given you the word of God that has been open to us in this age to give you enough reason to make your calling and election sure. To give you enough reason to realign your pathway of your journey from earth to glory. To stay on the pathway of escape rather than the pathway of destruction. There is a destruction that is coming up if you don't make the rapture. I am not talking about hellfire. This one will come up before 1,000 years after this one comes up, then the hellfire on will start. This is the one that takes place when Christ is coming with us that went in the rapture. Amen. To start the 1,000 reign of Christ on earth. Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Let the musicians sing me one or two songs for those who may be left behind to hear. For those who will not make it. Who have opportunity now to become Christians, but they choose rather to be religious. I am Catholic. I am redeemed. I am bright. I am choosing. I am this. I am that. That's all. Nothing beyond that as far as salvation is concerned. Nothing more as far as salvation is concerned. The rapture has started though. I don't know how many people. Tap your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Say, there is a mystery. Tell him. Tap your neighbor. Say, there is a mystery. Say, the rapture has started. Tell another neighbor. There is a mystery. The rapture has started. as a message for somebody. Oh, okay, those going to the rapture, they are the ones clapping their hands. Okay. Those going to the rapture, clap your hands, clap your hands, because it's not for you. It's not for you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That message is to remind somebody choking with your eternal destination. The Bible says, Abraham, amen, hallelujah, looked forward to a city with foundations whose builder maker is who? God. There was a vision God gave him of a city. Praise the Lord. And because of that revelation that he got, amen, God did not show him any other. He didn't show him judgment. He didn't show him judgment. He didn't show him hellfire. He didn't show him any destruction that is coming upon this world. He just showed him a beautiful city. But when he looked at that city and looked at the surroundings around him, he desired to be in that city. And that desire defined his lifestyle. Praise the Lord. That's what revelation does. You can never live a Christian life beyond the level of the revelation you have. Any other thing beyond your revelation will be hypocrisy. You only be doing it so that people no go say. But when a revelation is anchored inside of you, you don't care what anybody says concerning you. Because what you are seeing, other people are not seeing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel. Amen. Still Abraham. Take note that as rich as he was, but because of a vision God gave him, he saw himself. If God said that is where you are going, therefore it means he's a pilgrim. Anywhere he is, he's a pilgrim. And since he's a pilgrim and he's ready to move anytime, he said, because of that revelation, they lived in tents. They did not build themselves structures in the city they lived to live forever. They live in a manner ready to pack and go. That's what revelation does. Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity. Daniel chapter 9 says he understood by books the period that they were supposed to stay in that captivity before they will go back to their Jerusalem, their Zion. Before they go back to their homeland. And by the time it occurred to him, he studied and discovered it was remaining 2 years. They had spent 68 years out of the 70 years that Jeremiah prophesied for them. I always use him to define rapturing faith. He had a revelation that other Jews did not have. Therefore, his attitude there will be different from those who didn't have that kind of revelation. He understood by books that it is remaining 2 years for the time given to them to be there, to be over. Will that man now be going to buy land in Babylon? So I want you to understand what is rapturing faith. His mind will be so much in Jerusalem that everything around him here will look very, very temporary. So you only be living to survive and not to hook himself here anymore. Church, God sent his servant in this age, that man William Marion Braham, with a total package for his bride to give us enough reason to us, for us to be thinking of the rapture. Total package. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And people are still playing religion. And people are even holding, even in the atmosphere of that message, and still they are not catching it. How do I know? By their fruits we know it. By your attitude towards the things of God. It culminated in 1963. February 28th, when the angel came to give him the revelation of the seals, John, the writer of the book of the one that received the revelation, had revelation, but the meaning of those revelations he didn't know. Because it was not needful for him to know. Because it did not concern him. It was history in advance. God was giving John what the church will go through from the first church age till Jesus Christ coming up to the time when we shall go back again to eternity. That is what produced the book of Revelation. But how many churches dare go? How many preachers dare go to take the book of Revelation and make any meaning out of it? Because you can never get any meaning out of it outside of the message of the hour. Hallelujah. You can't. You can't. You can't. That's why I get very excited that I know something that the Reverend Doctor of Theology does not know. And I didn't go to any classroom. And I learned it from a man that didn't go to school. He didn't go to school. Hallelujah. Everybody knows Revelation chapter 5. A book on the right hand of him that sat on the throne. With a seal, with seals. Seven seals within and without. Nobody knows. The nearest people that try to explain it are the Seventh-day Adventists. But with our eyes open, we see where they are missing it. Because they are delving into an area that was not given to them. I call God the great encoder. And he's the only decoder of what he has encoded. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Unless he decodes this Bible, the mystery of redemption for you, you will never know. That is why Jesus said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. Except the Father reveal him to you, you will just see him as a second person of the Trinity. But our eyes of understanding he has opened, and we know who Jesus is. He is Emmanuel. Oh, glory be to God. He is not the second person of any Trinity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the only person of the Godhead. He's the only person of the Godhead. It is without veil open. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he God chooses who he will reveal it to. And he chose in this our age a man, an American, by the name of William Marion Brown. And on February 28, 1963, over there in Arizona, there in America, the angels of God, seven of them came down and said, it is time for the revelation of the seals. What John saw in symbols, it is time for you to understand what those horse riders, what they mean. Amen. And the first one was open. Praise the Lord. First, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seals were open. The first four seals run through the seven church ages. Seal number 5. Verse 4 seals, seven church ages. Seal number 5 is a revelation of what happened to the Jews. It has come to pass during the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were killed. And here they are at the altar. They were killed because they were Jews. They were not killed because they committed any offense. Just because they were Jews. I went to those gas chambers. I went to visit them. I went there. Went with my wife there. To go and see where human beings, we are treating fellow human beings. See where they killed those Jews. See where they kept them. see the gas chamber. They will tell them, they prepare that you are going inside to go and bath. They carry them from the prisoner cell. You are going to bath. They showed us where they would take the bath. They claim their bathing. They tell them, remove your cloth here. Then they will tell them, when you get there, there's a shower there. Then when you get there, they will open the shower. Not knowing that when you get there, they now open the gas. And then they all die, and there is a place there where they pass them through. Just, you know, so those over there waiting for their turn, they don't know what happened to the people that enter. And that is what they were doing with fellow human beings. But God saw that it will happen, and that is seal number 5. Praise the Lord. Now I said, seal number 7 is fulfilled before seal number 6. In the order of fulfillment, the 7th seal, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is where the rapture is. The 7th seal is Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Can we open it? And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That is all that is spoken about the seal. That is where the seal ends. Now, in my explanation, I've tried to let you know to catch a picture. And Brother Abraham touched it here and here to give us a good leading to catch a proper picture of what was happening. The 7th seal, in Revelation 8 verse 1, every seal that was opened, there was something happening there that the angel revealed to Brother Abraham. The history of it, or what will actually happen. This time now, no more symbols. Every symbol now given her right interpretation. But when it comes to the 7th seal, and that is where you see end time message believers divided into their different denominational groups. Or let me call it intellectual groups. And this is where they miss it. I believe I've caught it. And if I've not caught anything and I tell you, I will be held responsible for everything I teach you. So I don't come and teach what I have not anchored in. And I am still ready to come here and correct myself the day I find out that what I have taught you is wrong. Listen, catch it now. The seal was opened. This is the only seal that was opened. The last seal was opened, but there was silence. If there was silence, then let nobody say William Branham had something. Silence means silence. Amen. And the only thing that we can see there is, it is the last seal. So, but we see something in Revelation chapter 10. Let's open it. Revelation chapter 10. Let me read it from verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Revelation chapter 10 verse 1. Please follow me very, very carefully, because this is a fundamental teaching in the end time message. And every end time message church has her stand on this. And I'm telling you our stand in this ministry. And if you think there's something we are missing, please meet me later and tell me that I have missed something. But don't tell me Brother Abraham say, because I will also tell you where Brother Abraham say, then we will end up in where the Bible say. Praise the Lord. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Who is that mighty angel? Who is he? Eh? It's Jesus Christ himself. Some enter message teach that it is Angel Michael. It is not Angel Michael. Because the Bible calls him an archangel. This angel of Revelation chapter 10, his description is not the description of an angel. The same description you see in Revelation chapter 1 of who he is in his transfigured form. Even in the Mount Transfiguration, this is how he appeared. Praise the Lord. I remember. Amen. In chapter 5, there was a book on he that sat on the throne. And no man with seals within and without, seven seals. And no man was worthy to receive that book and open it. And John was crying. But the angel tapped him and said, "Weep not. Hallelujah, John. For the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And he turned to look. Who did he see coming? A lamb. And who is that lamb? He collected the book. Go to verse 2. Verse 2. That mighty angel, verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. So, that book that is open, he's making intercessions for you and for me. The office of Jesus Christ, he has three offices for the purpose of our redemption. Hallelujah. The first office is the office of a prophet. He has come, he has delivered the word of God. He went, the next office is the office of the high priest, making intercession for you and for me before the Father. When redemption is over, the last elect whose name is in the book of life is over, he will stand up because there is no more intercession. Hallelujah. What is the next office? A king. He's coming to rule the earth as a king of kings. Now, somebody who has been sitting down in a position for the past 2,000 years, the opening of the seventh seal was the action of him standing up because his position is about to change. And heaven kept quiet to see what next. Look at Luke chapter 13. I'm coming back to Revelation chapter 10. Now, in Luke chapter 13, catch something Jesus Christ himself said here. From verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And he said unto them, he said what? "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." You are asking, how many people will enter? His answer is, strive, struggle, do everything to enter in, enter the kingdom. He said, "For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, my reference is verse 25. See the word in there. When once the master of the house is risen up, if he's risen up, it means he was sitting down somewhere before. Because once he has risen up, salvation is over. That's why he says, strive to enter. And this is what he said, verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and he begin to stand outside, without, and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence you are." That rising up is what John saw in Revelation chapter 10. Where he said he saw the archangel. Hallelujah. that stood up because he was sitting somewhere. And once he stands up, no more salvation. Now, believers of the end time message, they keep saying that the thunder has been revealed. The thunder, what the thunder said. Now, the thunders, we don't hear about the thunders until salvation is over. So let nobody talk about thunders now that it has been revealed. If you follow it, I don't know how many people are really following me. Amen. Church, listen. Once he stands up and shuts the door to salvation, the door to redemption. This is what happened, Revelation chapter 10. Verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So, what those seven thunders uttered, only John had it. Am I correct? Am I correct? So, nobody knows because it was not written. So, what the seven thunders uttered is not written anywhere. So, no man knows. But watch. Amen. After the seven thunders uttered, verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no longer. Salvation is over. The time for salvation is over when he stands up. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, there are six angels, they have come and gone. It is in the days of the seventh angel, seven church ages. In the seventh church age, the angel of that age, an angel is a messenger of God. There will be a messenger of God. And he is not to everybody. He is to the bride of that very age. Now, at the days of the voice, when his message will begin to go around, the mystery. Hallelujah. What mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, so, what is the seven thunders? If it's talking about the Gentile age, salvation for the Gentiles, closing up in the seventh church age, in the seventh seal. Hallelujah. Then you will understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. that what the seven thunders, what they are uttering, must be having something to do with our home going. The day of the rapture, because Jesus Christ said, no man knows the day or the hour. Amen. But Apostle Paul said of the times and the seasons, we have no need that any man should teach us. We may not know, amen, the day that rain will fall, but we can know that we are in a rainy season. And the date for the rapture, before you can have rapture in faith, you are supposed to know when the rapture will take place. Satan knows that. That is why he has gone ahead to make us relax and forget about the coming of Jesus Christ. He sent all his agents to go and start fixing dates. The rapture is taking place also day. The rapture, they have been doing that from ages. If this one fell, another one will rise again. If the date fell, another one will rise again. Is Satan doing it so that we will lose faith and not talk about coming of Jesus Christ? Then he will come and catch us unaware. We are not unaware of the devices of Satan. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ has the voice of the bridegroom. We hear it. My sheep hear my voice. And when it comes to salvation, God did not leave it open for every chick and jack to know it. He leaves it close to his chest and reveals it only to those he has ordained it for. You have to catch it. Oh, I feel so excited that I have been given that privilege to know certain things. See, church, the seven thunders there, I believe there are seven ministers. Seven men that God will use. They will hear something in the spirit and thunder it to the bride. I believe it. Until you can prove it otherwise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is, the bride will hear something. Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ, they will hear something that will make them to have rapturing faith. When you tell them, they want to collect your land for Ejesha, they will say, which day they want to collect them? May they take and go. I'm on my way to the glory land. I'm on my way to the... That is your song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing. That is our song. Hallelujah. In the city where the Lamb is the Lamb. The city where they are coming. No. Have a mansion there. Have a mansion over there. I went free from toil. Hey, I am going there. Swing low, swing chariot, coming for to carry me. Oh, swing low, swing chariot, oh, coming for to carry me. I am thinking of the rapture in a blessed home. When the reading Agari, yes, sir. Oh, when the reading Agari, hallelujah. When the reading Agari, yes, sir. I'm free from. Hey, I will shout and I will sing. Hey, when I read, something will make you sing that type of song. It's a revelation. It comes from the voice of the seven thunders. Hallelujah. These are the things that happen just before the rapture. One more thing that will happen just before the rapture. Verse 8, Revelation chapter 10. It is in the divine timetable. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went into the angel, unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. What will happen when you eat it? And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou, he was talking to John, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Catch it. Some people already know what I want to say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John was given the little book, and told to eat it. In your mouth, it will be sweet like honey, but in your belly, what will happen? Bitter. Amen. That means very fast, intelligent, and smart. Some enter message African here in Lagos. Amen. He quickly said that John, that angel was speaking to him to receive that book and eat, that he is the one. It is his ministry. It is not. That is impersonation of the highest order in this age. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. How to identify what is the meaning of that John? Who is that was referring to? He said, thou will prophesy to many peoples, to kings, to nations. Hallelujah. But watch it. Amen. About 4 or 5 years back, this movement started. It wanted to creep into this church. We stood here, we will start. Look. There's a reason why God made me to be a soldier first before I become this. Oh, come and play with my eternal destination. I have made the man personally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I have heard him preach. He gathers the people, and all he's doing is to point to him, point to himself, point to himself. He's this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's this. He started by saying he's the lead apostle. He started by saying he's the lead apostle. And among all the apostles, he's the leader. Now, then it graduated to become John. Amen. Then I say, what is the book you have eaten? How the thing sweet for your mouth, and how the thing they worry you for your belly? The last verse 11 there gives us the picture. Thou must prophesy again. When you say prophesy again, it means he had prophesied before. Hallelujah. He's talking about a move of God. The Bible speaks about the latter rain and the former rain together. Therefore, it is a revival among the bride. It's a move of the Spirit of God. It's a revival that will happen among us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a revival before the rapture. It's not about a man. It's not about a man. No, it's not a man. It's a move of God. It's a move of the Spirit among a group of people that the whole world will call their attention. They will know something is happening among them. That is the John ministry. After the seven thunders, The seven thunders sounding. Amen. Right now, the bride of Jesus Christ, we are scattered. Disagreeing on little, you know, irrelevant things. Among us, there is no unity of the faith. But something is going to happen through the seven thunders that will unite all of us together. When we come together now, then the capstone will come down. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Let me show that to you in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me show that to you, 2 Peter. Open 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember. Amen. Remember what is our destiny. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed. Into whom? The image of Jesus Christ. When you talk about the image of Jesus Christ, you are talking about a divine nature. Hallelujah. Now, see what he said concerning the divine nature. Amen. Hallelujah. He greeted us, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now this is the divine nature from verse 5. Listen. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. So you see how you are growing? You see how you are growing? You see how you are growing? See how the church of Jesus is growing? And to patience, godliness. That's why we speak about holiness here. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what is the last one? What is the last one? Charity here is divine love. I told you about the three witnesses. Peter, James, and John. Peter, faith. James, works. Faith without works is dead. John, the apostle of love. What the angel was actually telling John, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord, that when the seven thunders sound, it brings us together in such a unity of the faith and brotherly love, so close to one another, then what remains for the body to be complete is what? Is the head. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. The church is the body, Christ is the head. He's not complete without us. We are not complete without him. He is the head. When we reach a stage, then the head, which is the capstone, comes and we are united for the rapture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to catch it that way. Therefore, it's a move of God. Salvation is God's own business. Forget all the divisions that are going on in the end time message. God knows how to bring us together. Something will happen. And it will come through the ministry of those seven thunders. So anybody that said thunder has been revealed, then tell us what is it. And don't tell us that the seven virtues are the seven thunders, or that the entire message is the seven thunder. There's nothing like that. And they will tell you, it's okay, but the Bible says that when the voice of the seven angels sound, it says all the mysteries should be revealed. The Bible didn't say so. The Bible didn't say in the days of the voice of the seven angels, all the mystery will be revealed. He didn't say so. He said one mystery should be finished. And that mystery is in Ephesians chapter 3. The salvation of the Gentiles. Apostle Paul called it the mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Once that strikes, amen, the rapture takes place. That is the voice of the archangel. The first stage of the rapture is the shout. Revelation chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself will descend first with a shout. The shout there is the same thing Jesus Christ spoke in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 25. The midnight cry concerning the wise and the foolish virgins. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Apostle Paul captured it and used the language. The shout. When you hear the shout and you respond, then you position yourself for the next move. The voice of the archangel. That archangel is the archangel in Revelation chapter 10 that produces the seven thunders. That is the next stage that we are waiting to enter. And if you don't hear the shout, you can't hear the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. Then the rapture strikes. The door is closed to salvation. Then salvation moves to Israel. To start the last week out of the 70 weeks that was prophesied to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9. 69 weeks were fulfilled in 1833. 1 week was left. Between the 69th week and the 70th week is the Gentile church ages. Romans chapter 11 verse 25. The blindness in part has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Till the last Gentile comes in. They rejected him, but as many as received him, we are the ones. The Gentiles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Queen Vashti turned him down. There was a slave girl, Esther, that took the place of Vashti to be a queen. But she was prepared by a chamberlain. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The seven church ages with the seven star messengers. Each age has a chamberlain to prepare them. In our own day, our chamberlain is that American, William Marion Braham. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where we are now, in the divine timetable. And we are at the last stage, and we need to sound that after the rapture takes place, 7 years after, the day of the Lord starts. And the events that take place at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not palatable. It's not good for you to be part of it. It is not palatable. It should not even be imagined. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says so because he knows what will happen. Praise the Lord. That's why he said, remember Lot's wife. So just to give you a picture of what will happen, that is in the sixth seal. When the sixth seal was open, then God showed John what was going to happen when Christ will be coming after the rapture. Can we stand up? Can we stand up? In the city we are the Lamb is the light. Oh, the city where there cometh no night.
Of a mansion there.
Of a mansion over there. Our free from. Oh.